SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So I can't wait to hear this Baker Mayfield thing, because I missed it today, where he started telling people to basically kiss off. I don't care what you think of me, all this other stuff. This guy is literally writing his own ticket out of the NFL. I mean, he's writing checks his body can't cash. I mean, now what's he taking on fans, let alone the media? He just doesn't seem to get it. I think this kid just doesn't seem to get it. Maybe it's that wife of his. She's another, cuckoo, cuckoo, gets in fights for him in the media. You know what I mean? It's like Mahomes' family, the wife and the brother. Cuckoo, yeah. Cuckoo. Like, I don't have it. I'm not having it. You know what I mean? It's like, tell your wife to shut up. Stay out of this. This is pro football. We got no time for her opinion. Stay out of it. Now he's taking on fans. Let me hear it. I want to hear it.
Yeah, you know, they lost obviously 26-16 yesterday. I think me and you were both like writing last year off. He was injured. He can play. He's going to get a fresh start. He has been abysmal. Was again yesterday. Here he is talking about the fans booing.
Obviously, I'm frustrated the fact that we're 1-3. I mean, that's it, though. We're 4 weeks into the year. You know, we can sit here and let you guys pile on us, or we're going to come together as a locker room. That's exactly how we're going to handle it. I don't really care about the fact that our fans are booing or what's going on. We're going to figure it out. And when we win, it'll still be just us in the locker room. And that's really all I care about. So we're going to be just fine.
Yeah, that's not going to work. That's just not going to fly there, Chipper. All I know is now they hate you. That took 5 minutes, and now they hate you. They gave up on you in Cleveland. They're going to give up on you in Carolina. And then he will be done playing in the NFL. He will be standing on a sideline picking his boogers. He'll be a third string quarterback the rest of the day. You know what he's going to be? Matt Barkley. No offense, Matt, but that's what you are. So yeah. You're going to go join that fraternity. You know I'm right, Carver High.
No, he's definitely trending towards that right now. He is not making the most of a second chance that he has gotten. He will start again this week. They are home
for
the 49ers on Sunday. Darnold is not close to returning from the high ankle sprain. I guess Matt Rhule doesn't want to put in the immortal P.J. Walker either.
He's a terrible coach. Now, listen, he's a terrible coach. His third stringer from Temple that he coached in college, it's so embarrassing. This guy is not an NFL coach. And he proved it with his record so far. And secondly, he proved it with his decision-making. He should have gone with Sam Darnold to begin with. It's just that was their quarterback. That was the guy they paid all that money to be their quarterback. And then they said, you know what? Let's give Baker Mayfield the job. You know, as bad as he sucked in Cleveland, we'll give him the starting job and sit down the guy we gave all the money to. Do you realize that Darnold makes more money than Mayfield? And they're paying him to stand on the sideline. When you start making decisions like that, I mean, it is gift wrap city. You are done. Matt Rhule, here's what it is. Your boy Helton coaching at Georgia Southern doing a great job. That's where Matt Rhule's headed. I mean, he got to be the head coach at Troy in about a month. I mean, it is over for him. He's done coaching pro football. Trust me when I tell you. I'm going to just get this out of the way early, you know, before the holidays. You got Halloween, Pharrell's Giving. You got Christmas, you know, New Year's. And season ending Black Monday. I'm just going to get it out now. Get it out now. You're fired. You're done. I mean, you're an awful coach. You're a Nimrod. I'm sitting there watching him yelling at the ref yesterday. I'm like, not only that, you have no juice. No one listens to you, not even the ref. He don't even look at you when you're yelling at him. That's when you know you have nothing.
I was a little surprised that he wasn't fired already. I thought today he might have got it.
Me too.
That's an embarrassing loss at home. It really is. I guess Tepper wants to just play it out with him. I mean, a couple more embarrassing home losses like that.
Tepper hates him.
He won't make it. He does.
Tepper gave him all that money, and he hates him. He's going to give that guy all that money. He's going to leave with $60 million, and he isn't worth $6.
We welcome in all of our radio affiliates. Pharrell, coast to coast on a Monday. Sirius XM 159. Sports Map, Sports Byline. Good to have everybody with us. And also, Scotty, the Raiders beat the Broncos 32-23. That big scoop and score. We needed that, man. We needed that scoop and score from the Raiders in that game.
I needed that real bad.
I had the Raiders too yesterday. That's for sure.
Have you ever in your life seen a play worse than that bomb Wilson threw? And you're not playing. I don't know what kind of defense they were playing. They weren't playing prevent. They weren't playing shell. They weren't playing zone. They let him throw that 55-yard bomb down to the 3-yard line. I'm sitting there going like, what team in their right mind lets that play happen? I mean, I couldn't even believe the guy was wide open by 8 yards right down the post, right down the middle of the field. I'm like, the Raiders. I said to my son, I'm watching the game. I go, I mean, the Raiders, it's hairdryer city. That's how bad they are. They are awful. The Raiders are awful. I can't even believe they won the effing game. I really can't because that's how awful they are. How do you let a team back in the game? You're done. I don't know who was worse yesterday, the Ravens, the Raiders, or the Steelers blowing leads.
Yeah, at least the Raiders found a way. I can't wait to see that defense against Mahomes next Monday night.
They're going to get racked.
That should be interesting. Bad news for the Broncos also. Running back Javonte Williams tears ACL yesterday in the game. Finished, that's for sure. Later on, Scotty, we will talk about Monday Night Football. Niners-Rams in San Francisco. We've got the lion's share later with some props as well after you talk to Jerry Palm.
Jerry Palm.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, for all back on Coast to Coast, the legendary Jerry Palm is on C2C. Imagine that. We've had Jerry on my radio show for like 20 years, and now we've brought him onto the TV side so that you all can be initiated with his excellence. And talking college football is his bag, and it's good to see you, Jerry. Thank God we got you on. That was getting a little hairy right there, but let's talk college football. I have to tell you, a couple of games stood out to me this week that I thought were impressive. Oklahoma State having a week off. They were idle, and then they went to Waco. And I think a lot of people were on Baylor after they went to Ames and won against Iowa State. And then to go home to Waco and play the Cowboys, and they have a history in the postseason last year, obviously. But boy, did the Cowboys take care of business.
Yeah, that was a – I mean, they didn't just win, but that was a pretty comfortable win. That was a win where definitely they were the better team, and especially to do that on the road. That was a very impressive win. And Oak State now, with Oklahoma falling apart, has to be considered the favorite in that league, and the next challenger might actually be Kansas, of all teams. We don't normally talk about them in October unless we're talking preseason hoops. But the Kansas Jayhawks football team has been fantastic so far this year and fun to watch. They've got a pretty good offense, but they did manage to win a low-scoring game against their last opponent. Just jumped out of my head, Texas Tech. But yeah.
14-11 they won on Saturday.
Oh, that was Iowa State.
And Iowa State, yeah. So that was an incredible – the kid missed the field goal. They blocked it at the end of the game, and the fans poured on the field, and Lawrence, they had the 5-0 up on the scoreboard. They haven't been this good since 09. And really, before that, the last time they were good in football was before Christ, as you know, Jerry. Yeah. They have never been good in college football, ever. And this is very exciting for them in Lawrence because it's just a basketball school. It reminds me of Indiana. You know, people always try to sell that Indiana football program. They suck. It's a basketball school. That's it.
Yeah. They've had moments, you know, like the Bill Mallory years were decent. Tom Allen
there.
Had a couple good years, but it's all basketball. They I was looking up today. They haven't beaten Ohio State since 1988. Ohio State. They not even got lucky in beating Ohio State once since 88.
Listen, I thought it was, you know, they went to the Rose Bowl, I think, in 67. The last time they were good, in reality, was the COVID year, which was a phony year. And before that, the only time they were ever good was 87, my senior year, when Bill Mallory was there. He's the best thing that ever happened to the program. What did you think of a Paul Chryst getting fired with like a 60-20 record something in Madison. He went to school there. He won titles there, Big Ten West titles. He won Cotton Bowls, Orange Bowls. He did everything. And then they get blown out by Ohio State and then get whacked by Illinois and Bealman. That was it.
Yeah, it's – boy, you talk about a short leash. Gosh, I mean, Paul Chryst can't keep a job. You know, it's Carl Durrell getting fired, you know, no big surprise. But Paul Chryst is – what do you have to do to keep a job these days? I think part of this, though, is that they kind of view Leonard as the heir apparent. And now the Kansas – not Kansas job, but the Nebraska job has opened up. And there's a fear that he might be a candidate for – he might leave to go take some other job and they might not get him themselves. And so I think that's maybe why the leash was a little bit shorter this year for him. But it's so now Leonard's going to get a tryout to see if he can turn this thing around a little bit for Wisconsin. I don't know. It's not like this division is, you know, anybody's going to run away with it. Wisconsin could still win the division. I don't know what Leonard's going to have to do to keep this job. But I think that that was part of it, is that they were afraid of losing him.
Well, he'll play Northwestern next and beat them by 30 because they're god-awful. And I still can't figure out, to be honest with you, everyone's fascination with Fitzgerald because all they do is lose. I've been hearing about this guy that he's been there 17 years. He's going to be an NFL coach. I wouldn't hire that guy as an NFL coach. I mean, literally, I think he's overrated. Now, I know people think he's this fabulous coach. Well, where's all the, you know, wins? He never wins. Now, Leonard played there. He's going to turn it around. They're going to keep that job for him there. He's not going anywhere. But talk about Michigan. They finally solved their problem in Iowa City, Jerry, and won at Kinnick. They hadn't won there since, I think, World War I.
Yeah, well, Michigan is, I think, pretty clearly the second best team in the league, if they're not the best. Ohio State certainly looks dominant. But Michigan is 1A in the Big Ten. And Iowa is just – Iowa, I don't know how they score. That is one of the worst offensive teams I've seen. Now, they've gotten a little bit healthier. They're starting to score a little bit. But, you know, like a 28-point outburst from Iowa would be almost miraculous at this point. It's going to be hard to win games, you know, in this division or anywhere if you can't put some points on the board consistently. But that's a good win for Michigan. You know, going back to Northwestern for a second, they won the West Division two of the last 4 years. Now, they're not good, you know, they're not going to get the players everybody else gets. They're not going to be a dominant program, even in this division. But if you're winning division titles two out of every 4 years, you're doing something right. But the funny thing is they were last in the alternate years. They went last to first. And this is the year that they're supposed to be first, but they look like last again.
Wildly inconsistent. 1 year you're last, the next year you're first, the next year you're last. Now they're last again. The game with they beat, I think they beat Nebraska in Dublin, right? Haven't won since. Who's better, Jerry, Utah? Because I think they, you know, they lost in the Swamp on a pass interference call in the end zone that was ignored. They lost that game, and they had the stones to go play there, which I thought was impressive. And they've won every game since by putting up 35, 45 points, and they ripped Oregon State. Are they better than USC? Because USC won the game, and they went up in Corvallis by 3, and then they couldn't cover against Arizona State. They beat them. I think Utah is the better team.
Well, Utah was my pick at the beginning of the year to win this conference. I don't know if they're going to get, well, all the way through undefeated in the conference. They might. Obviously, they're not undefeated now because of that Florida game, but I think Utah is the best team in that league. USC has got a flashy offense, and when that offense is clicking, man, they're going to be tough, but, you know, I don't know if they can consistently do it. Plus, Utah plays USC at home, and that's a big advantage, I think, for the Utes getting to play them there. So, yeah, I like Utah to win this league. They could lose, I think, to Oregon in the regular season, but still end up winning the Pac-12.
So LSU, they beat Mississippi State down in the Bayou, and now they're 4-1, and they're finally ranked. Is Brian Kelly building something in Baton Rouge?
Well, let's see what happens when they get to play some of the better teams in their division before we get too excited, because that one loss is Florida State. And Florida State's got a nice record, and they're better maybe than they've been, but they're not Florida State. So LSU, to me, needs to show me what they can do against, like, Arkansas, an Alabama. I don't think they have Georgia on the schedule. What's that?
They're playing them this week. They're playing Tennessee this week.
Yeah. So now there's a real test for this team. So that's when we start to find out, you know, what LSU has really got. But I don't think, you know, whether or not Brian Kelly is building something, you can judge even in the first year. You got to wait till he gets his guys in and they're playing his system. So you got to look two or three years down the road before you can really judge what Brian Kelly has done.
How about that Sam Hartman? I think he's incredible. I love that drag kind of play action they run to the halfback where he holds it in almost like a triple option. He holds the ball in the guy's gut, and then he decides if he's going to give it to him, and he gets 10 yards, or he's going to pull it and throw it. But, boy, can that guy sling it. And what do you think of your Boilermakers' big win in Minneapolis?
Yeah, Hartman is good. By the way, what you're describing is what they call a zone read. You'll see a lot of college teams do that. It's a tough thing to defend because your ends have got to be really disciplined to make sure that you're kind of watching both guys and make the right read. And Hartman's great. That was a big win for Purdue. It helped that Ibrahim wasn't playing for Minnesota because he's the second leading rusher, I think, even in the nation, certainly in the league. And they just weren't the same running the ball without him. Purdue was able to stuff him. Aiden O'Connell was playing hurt, and it showed. But they made some big plays to finally put a win together.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Gray. This is a whole new jungle. This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
All right, Carver High, you know what time it is, the lion's share. And while you were away, Mafia did a great job of earning people a lot of money. But we clearly missed you based on how much money we've made together on the lion's share. So now that you're back, it's time to get back to business.
It certainly is. The lion's share brought to you by BetMGM. We, of course, have Monday Night Football, the Rams and the 49ers. In Santa Clara, Scotty. Of course, the Niners have had their way with the Rams, except in the NFC title game last year where the Rams beat them on the tart drop with the pick. Let's get into the props and the lion's share. I know. Let's get into the props and the lion's share.
I lost
for this
game
tonight. We will start with the quarterbacks. Jimmy Garoppolo, 224.5 for him tonight, minus 105 to the over, minus 125. To the under, made his first start of the season last Sunday night in Denver against the Broncos. 211 he threw for in that one. I like the over for Jimmy G tonight, Scotty, which will kind of foreshadow that I think that there's going to be some points in this game for once.
So you like him because they're in Santa Clara or something? He's just going to do better? Because I thought he looked terrible in Denver.
I think that they're going to be able to score. I think both teams are going to be a little more higher scoring than this series usually has been. I think they both can get into the mid to upper 20s tonight. We're going to see some throwing of the football. I will take the over for Jimmy G.
All right, I'll go with the over. 225 yards, that's what we need. Then that's what I'm after.
225. Let's get it, baby. Next, we'll go to Matthew Stafford. His number down a little bit. 252 this morning, down to 248. And a half as we get a little closer to game time. He has gone over that number two of his three starts this season, Scotty. Both of the Ram wins. Like the over for Stafford as well.
Well, if I'm going to go against him, then and I'm going to take Jimmy G to have a good game, then I'm going to say he doesn't have a good game. I'm going to stay under.
Going to stay under with Jimmy G with Stafford tonight. With the 248.5. We will go to the wide receivers. Now, of course, we're going to have Debo in a couple of spots here, Scotty. A lot of Debo for us, who has had some big games against the Rams the past couple of years. The receiving number for him, now 55.5. It's down from the 57 that we had earlier, minus 115 each way. I'm torn on the receiving. I'm going to go over with the rushing in a little bit, but I might stay under with the receiving of 57.5, Scotty.
I mean, who the hell else are they going to throw it to? I'll take the over.
Taking the over with Debo. Here's who I think they are going to throw it to. A big George Kittle night for me. Let's go here. It was 42.5. It's already up one to 43.5. I'm going with the up movement. Minus 115 over 43.5 for Kittle tonight.
I'll go over there too.
Go over for Kittle. Let's go to the Rams. Cooper Kupp always gets the rock, Scotty. Always gets the rock, especially against the Niners. 93.5 now, down a yard from earlier with the 94 we have up there on the screen. Minus 110 to the over. I'm sorry, I could never play an under for Cooper Kupp, Scotty. Just never. I'm never going to play an under for Kupp. I'm taking the over.
All right, well, then I'll take the under. I mean, if they're going to win the game, they got to shut him down. I mean, you got to, just for once in your effing life, do your job and shut him down.
And for Allen Robinson, that's now gone to 39.5 for Allen Robinson, up from the 38.5 earlier. Minus 115 to the over, minus 110 to the under. A little trickier for me, Scott. You had the awful game against the Bills, then they got him a little bit more involved, then back the other way. I think I'm going to go under for Robinson tonight, under the 38.
Yeah, I'll go under as well. It just hasn't worked for him with the Rams yet. I haven't seen any sign of anything yet.
I have not seen any sign of anything either. Running back time. Let's go. Rushing props. Jeff Wilson Jr. for the Niners. Down to 50, up to 57.5. Excuse me. So gone down to 54.5. I like the over for Wilson. I think we'll get the little bit of a mix. Garoppolo will pass a bit. They like to run the football. Minus 115 to the over for me.
Yeah, I don't even know who that is. I'll take the under. I mean, that's just like Jeff Wilson. Is he my mailman? Honestly.
Yes, he's your mailman. And Debo, we play this every week for every Niner game. We're not going away here. It's 29.5 now, down a yard. I do not care because he gets them on one run. Over the 29.5 for Debo.
Yeah, I think he's going to do everything in that game tonight. If they're smart, if they want to win, they're going to give him the ball. I'll go over there and over on the receiving. Anytime touchdown, too.
We have got that coming up for you. Don't worry. And after a week one where he did not see the ball at all, Cam Akers getting a little bit more involved in the offense for the Rams. Still down, but up to 42.5 from 41.5 earlier this morning. Minus 115 to the over. That's where I'm going. Over. That's too low, I think. He's starting to get more in the mix. Over the 42.5 for Cam Akers.
Well, their offensive line is all kinds of banged up, too, and I'm going to stay under because their rushing game has been complete ass butter. He's done nothing in any game this year, so I'm going to stay under.
Let's score some touchdowns then, all right? This is where we usually like to have a lot of fun. We like to ring the bell. I never like giving you the big minus money ones, but I will with Cooper Kupp because he always finds the end zone. Minus 165 for Kupp tonight against the Niners. Let's go.
I mean, this guy just always scores a touchdown in every game. So that's a yes.
That's a yes. Debo Samuel, you already said give me an anytime touchdown. Fine,
boom.
I'll give it to you.
Boom.
Plus 115. Debo has big games against the Rams. Let's get another one going for him tonight. Now it's long shot time, Scotty. We got the easy ones in there. We're going to get Kupp. We're going to get Debo. Now let's take some deep shots. Tyler Higbee for you at two Bills. Plus 200 at BetMGM tonight for him to score. The tight end down in the red zone for Stafford. Let's ring the bell.
I hope you're right. I mean, that sounds like a deal to me. They're going to have to throw to Higbee, and they're going to have to throw to Kupp, and Kupp's going to get a lot of attention. So I think Higbee has more of a chance to score. I like that price.
And now I'm going real deep shot for you. Now, like you said, who's Wilson? Who's this guy? We know that they're running game. They've got guys banged up. Juszczyk already has a touchdown this year. He's got touchdowns in the past against the Rams. I'm going to take a shot at a big price, Scotty. Big ticket. Plus 700 for my boy Juszczyk to get the rock down low. Maybe a little first and goal from the half inch. Give it to the big fella.
Yeah, and he'll score, and it'll be the first time I've seen a team in the NFL this year have a ball at first and goal at the one and actually not fumble.
Can you believe that? You bring that up. I'm with you. All these
it's
teams
every game.
That can't score.
It's every game.
Even I'm watching the Raiders, too, last night.
It's a kiss
the
of
Raiders,
death.
The Raiders, Waller caught that ball that put him at the one, and they ended up kicking a field goal. How these teams can't punch it in, and the fumbles as well. It's just – it's – very, very tough to take. There are the props for you. We've got a couple of minutes. Let's just talk about where this line is at, too. Niners now minus two, total of 42 as we get ourselves a little bit closer to kickoff. We were talking about the break. Very dangerous line here tonight with the Niners minus two in this game at home against the Rams.
You know, it's and what's the money line on it now? Minus what? It was minus a buck and a quarter. Minus, was it 127?
130. Minus 130 at BetMGM now for the Niners.
Man, I got to go see the eye doctor. I got to tell you, it looks like a 127 to me from here, baby. Look, don't let me drive at night. Or don't let me drive home from the bar, Carver High. Not a good idea. I can't see anything.
I know.
Was that a deer? No, it was a person. Look out. Look, it's a dangerous way to make a living. I'd rather bet them to win outright than if it's that price than to lay 2 points in a, you know, this is always a close game. It's always a rivalry. They know each other well. The games are crazy. I'll tell you what I'm interested in is your philosophy on that total. 90% or more of the people are on the under. And I think this game's going to go over.
I think that the game is going to go over as well. Usually when we see something get into that range with the 90-plus percent of where the public is at, and I know I'm sure Jason can give you even more updated numbers in a couple of minutes, but I'm going with the over tonight. Everybody's on the under. That's all fine and good. 20-17 in the NFC title game last year. They've played a lot of unders the last few years. Yeah, listen, I don't care.
I was pulling my teeth out with this game, Mike. I woke up. I'm like, you know, look, I put up sharp plays on my site, and I hit five of them, and I had a good day. And then I was going to go, honest to Christ, was going to go with the Packers and the Bucks, and I didn't do it. I didn't pull the trigger. I'm not a fan of chasing the dragon late in the afternoon and at night when I'm sitting on top of a pile of money already. I've already hit 5 of 8 games in the NFL. Before you know it, you'll end up a game under 500 when you go into them 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock games and you lose everything. And then Monday night, I wake up for that game and I get up today and I'm like, I'm leaning Rams. And then it took me less than an hour to lean on the Niners. I mean, in less than an hour, I was ready to, you know, con myself out of it because I saw they beat them 6 straight in a regular season. I don't care about any of that, what happened yesteryear. I really don't. It's, what are you going to do for me tonight? Tonight is today. I'm living in the moment. What does the title game or that Week 18 game have to do with this game tonight? Besides, you know, absolutely nothing.
Nothing. And that game was 27-24. Look,
I'm not a trend
guy. All these games have been right on the number. I'm with you. I think tonight we get some points. I think that we get some scoring. Over 42.5 is the only place I'm going in terms of those lines.
Here's the deal, Mike. You lose, you're 1-3. You win, you're 2-2.
Yeah.
And if they beat the Rams, they're 2-2. Everybody's happy at 2-2. You're 1-3, you're screwed. And the Rams will be 3-1, and then it's bye-bye NFC West.
Yeah, that's for sure.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, Cover High, I had another outstanding day with Joe Ranieri on In-Game Live All Access on Saturday with college football. I went 14-8 in my sharp plays in college football. It was a tough day, but in the top 25 games, I ended up 14-5 in spreads, and 74% of my bets hit. And then in unranked plays, I went 27-15 in spreads of the unranked games, which was 64% of my bets hit. So overall for the day, I was at 69%, your favorite number. I was hitting games left and right. Obviously, there were some games I lost. The game that you know made me livid, I was on the air with Joe, and the game that really got me mad was watching Iowa. That gingerbread quarterback of theirs is so bad. I mean, I've seen newborn baby. Ray Lewis, your daughter, is a better starting quarterback. And what is she in, like the third grade now?
Kindergarten. Yeah, kindergarten.
Okay, well, that's even, I mean, that's even less. She's in kindergarten and she's a better quarterback than that guy at Iowa. They got the ball at first and goal from the 3-yard line, and they couldn't score. And if they scored, they covered the 11. They couldn't score. On fourth down, he threw a screen pattern, a screen pass, with Michigan playing glue grill up in the receiver's face on every single receiver. And the guy throws the screen, and the kid batted the ball down. I'm like, what in the F are you doing? And I said right on the air with Joe, I said, Kirk Ferentz and the offensive coordinator should have fired that racist when it happened, when all the racism happened at Iowa. They should have fired him then. And now, watching how bad that team is now, they should fire him now. When are they finally going to get over that hack? I mean, you can quote me on that, too. We all know what happened in Iowa City. No one likes talking about it. Have you ever seen anything get pushed under the rug like that story with all the racist coaches they had going on there? And then now they don't want to talk about it. You know what happened? Now they can't score a touchdown. They are so bad. All I needed was them to score a touchdown. I didn't even need them to win the game. Just scored a touchdown. That started my day off. It was terrible. I mean, it was just terrible, Carver. Terrible.
Yeah, their offense, it is putrid. It is
the quarterback's the worst. Their football. I won't even say his name.
They are so bad and offensively challenged. It's tough to take 27-14.
Here's what I said on the air. His passes are so bad. On one of them, he hit the children's hospital. He threw it and hit the children's hospital window over there that they waved to at halftime. He threw one over the guy. He had so many passes overthrowing his receivers. He plunked the window on the 14th floor of the children's hospital. I mean, this guy is the absolute worst. Listen, no mercy. This is a Big Ten. This is major college football.
You can't.
This is major college football. You're on national television, and you can't complete a pass the whole day. I mean, I was like, oh, my God, this guy's the worst I've ever seen in my life. I am done with them. I will never bet on them again as long as I live.
They are absolutely embarrassing offensively, absolutely embarrassing. 27-14, the final there in Iowa. They take care of business. You mentioned with Palm before, Kansas beat Iowa State 14-11, 5-0 for the Jayhawks. Now, Scotty, as they start the season, everybody up in arms in Lawrence, they're pumped. 5-0 football team.
I think TCU comes to Lawrence Saturday, and I think all that ends.
Yes.
I think all that ends Saturday.
TCU, who also is off to a great start after they whacked Oklahoma. I mean, they whacked them in Fort Worth. Oklahoma is not that good at all. Everybody got pumped up on them when they ran it up on Nebraska. Not so much anymore.
I don't think Kansas could beat Oklahoma, Mike. I don't. TCU beat their ass.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the TCU brings Kansas back to earth. But here's the tough part for Kansas. That guy's so good, that coach that's brought him back here, he'll probably leave and take the Nebraska job next year or something. They'll be back to nothing, that Leopold.
Yeah, go figure, right? Hey, look
who
it is.
Go take the Nebraska job.
Right? Like, of course. We got Jason Scott, of course, the esteemed vice president of trading at BetMGM. Finally, we got him in Vegas. Awesome. My man, so what side and props is the public betting on for Monday Night Football? I see 90%+ of the public is on the under.
They're on the under, and they're on Cooper Kupp. Over 94% of the money's on Cooper Kupp to cover the yards and over 8.5 receptions. So the public's had a good run with these. They're all over Mike Williams last night and also all over Travis Kelce. They're all over Tyreek Hill on Thursday night. So the popular players have been doing their job this week. So let's see what happens tonight with Cooper Kupp.
How do you feel about the game, Jason, as a fan? I know you always like to tell me who you like in these games personally. I mean, do you think the Niners can give Kupp the business a little bit, or are they going to let him go crazy?
I prefer to take the two than give the two tonight. I'm a little surprised coming off what happened in Denver last week that the money's kept coming for the 49ers. I think +2 the Raiders seems a reasonable bet. Where are you at, Scotty?
So you're saying you like the Rams with the points?
I like the Rams, yeah.
They just don't ever seem to play well against the Niners. It's just like one time after the next, they don't get it done against them. I know they beat them in the title game, but did they? Or is it Tart's drop of that pick that the reason that they didn't go to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think I read Shanahan's 8-3 against McVay, so I take your point.
I mean, fair enough, right? Like, so I'm scared to death of the game, to be honest with you. Do you get a lot of people that bet on that London game? There's more London games, I think, this week. I took the Vikings minus -175 on the money line early yesterday morning. And by the hair on my chinny chin chin, they got it done with that upright crossbar double doink after Lutz had made a 60-yarder. When he made the 60-yarder, I just started yelling, fix. And then when he lined up for a 61-yarder, first of all, Jason, I couldn't believe that they completed the pass to set up the 61-yarder. Like, there's like 3 seconds left in the game. The guy throws a 90-yard bomb, and then they're lining up for a kick. It just is unbelievable to me what happens in the NFL games.
Well, I was also surprised. Every time I've been to London, like, the air feels heavy and thick and horrible. So I'm surprised the ball flew that far in that environment. But, look, it's good. The NFL have made the right decision. Okay, it mightn't have been a stellar game yesterday. It was better than some of the games we've seen sent over there the last couple of years. So I think the growth of the game, we get a couple of good contests like that, can only be good. In terms of money, look, our West Coast customers, a bit early for them, a 6:30 start, so the numbers were down there. But the East Coast, it was probably, we held more money than probably 2/3 of the games in that first slate.
So, but you had to make money on that game because everybody bet the Vikings and laid the points, didn't they? I mean, there was like nobody on the Saints in the four.
Yeah, actually, day went like that yesterday. We made a fair bit of money early, and then we lost a fair bit of it on the second slate and lost a bucket load of it to the Chiefs.
So a lot of the lines moved down as things got closer to kickoff. Was the late injury news changing it or the way people were betting it?
Combination. I think it was the late, you know, the most surprising one to me that went astray was the Bucks. They opened +2.5 and jumped -2. And the Chiefs didn't really have any major injuries. So that was the big one. And it was a real pros versus Joes game, Scotty. The pros wanted to be on the Bucks, but the money just kept coming for the Chiefs. So we got well and truly bashed up on that one.
Yeah, so is the public making some money back finally after 3 weeks of bending over?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't use that term, bending over, but it hasn't been fantastic.
I was bending over. Yeah.
I'm just getting visions coming through my mind here I potentially don't want to see. To be honest, it was a tough day for us yesterday. We sort of broke even, so many of our punters won, but a couple of them lost.
The trend for the season was the unders, but just like last week, it's just about even on totals. You think the numbers are finally getting to where you want them?
Yeah, I think the quarterback play is improving. Teams come but get used to playing together, and you know, as we get guys on moving across teams, we see that every year. So I'm not sure I ever really want the numbers. I just put the numbers up. We don't make anybody bet, so wherever it lands, that's what happens. I always like the unders because, frankly, we write 65% of our bets on overs. People want to cheer for points. They don't want to cheer against points. They're not cheering for fumbles and turnovers.
So I got a cough and a cold here in New York City with the lovely weather and cold and, you know, rain and everything else. If I was in Vegas living at the MGM in a villa, I doubt I'd get a cold and a cough. Like, what are the odds? What do the odds say at the BetMGM window in terms of Pharrell's chances of getting a cold in Vegas compared to New York City?
Nearly impossible. But the bad news I've got, Scotty, is I joined you this week. I had to come over here, and I had the misfortune of going to MetLife yesterday, and my eyes had to be pained sitting through the Giants and the Bears. Yeah, so it is a miserable cold place right now. So yeah, I want to be back in the sun and can't wait for Thursday when I head back home.
So what's the deal? You came to New York. What are you checking in on, the Jersey City operation?
That's exactly what I'm doing. We've got a few traders over here, so it's good for you to spend some time with those guys.
How's that operation going? That's pretty cool that you got a shop in Jersey.
Yeah, look, we've just remodeled and refurbished a new training room here, which I had a look at today and gave a little workout. It's good. Look, if it wasn't for the climate, this would be a great place to live, but it's just too cold for an Aussie bloke.
It sucks, doesn't it?
It does. I'm trying not to say that, but yes.
Hey, the snow and ice is right around the corner doing push-ups. Believe me, the trend for the season, Kelsey first hit at 700. Kelsey anytime at minus about 285 were some of your biggest props. I said, how hard did those bite you?
Yeah, we got smashed. All the Tyreek Hill money from Thursday night came straight back on Kelsey. And as I said, it's all on Cooper Cup tonight. So we need a change of fortunes with these superstar players. But, geez, we haven't had much luck betting against Cooper Cup over the last year and a quarter.
In college, the top bet games of Kentucky and Michigan had people cover the lines. How was the college day as a whole for you? I made a lot of money again. Saturdays, I am in bed with my money. Sundays are tough, but I did have a winning day Sunday finally. I hit 5 sharp plays.
Look, we had a much better day on Saturday than we had for Sunday. The biggest handle of the day was Georgia, and we got close to getting a lot there. So that Bama sort of having that mid-game collapse to let Arkansas back in, it also helped us. So no, we can't complain. We had a good day Saturday.
What are you looking for this weekend?
I'm going to build a monument to Nebraska right now. Them in Oklahoma. It's just unbelievable right. What's happening.
Yeah, you're telling me. You ready for wild card baseball and playoffs to start Friday?
Yeah, still going. I mean, we've still got one division. We're $1.02 the Braves, $19 the Mets for one team to win 3 games and the other to lose 3. So I can't wait. We're ready for the real season to start. And I mean, I think the only ones more excited than the bookmakers are the TV companies because they got all the high-profile teams in this year.
And what about Judge? You want him to stub his toe this week?
Look, this is hard. I don't really want to be the Grinch, but every game where he doesn't keep hitting another one, more money jumps in our bag. So, look, you clearly like to see him break history, but let's wait till the last game of the season.
All right, well, listen, tell those boys in Jersey City I'm here for them if they need me. I won't sneeze on them. I'm glad they got a shop opened up and they're doing big things in Jersey City. Jason, good to see you. BetMGM, we love you. Thanks.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It just wasn't the same with me doing it. It's time for Today in Carver High History.
Yeah, let's do it. 1974, at 39, Frank Robinson signs to be player manager for the Indians. First African-American manager in MLB history. Also in 74, Jerry West, the logo, retires from the NBA after 14 years with the Lakers. 1981, the Brewers and the Expos clinch their first ever postseason appearances. 1990, George Brett of the Royals, first player in Major League history to win the batting title in 3 different decades. 329 he hit in 1990 for the Royals. 1993, the Giants failed to beat the Dodgers last game of the season. They win 103 games and they missed the playoffs. They would have had a 1-game playoff with the Braves if they would have won. Of course, Scotty, that was the last year before baseball started having wild cards. They miss out. What a shame. 1993, the Indians play their final game at Cleveland Stadium. What a dump that was. 95, O.J. Simpson is found not guilty of the murder of Nicole Brown.
Yeah, he didn't do
it. Ronald Goldman, he didn't do it. 99, McGuire finishes the season by hitting his 65th homer. Sosa hit his 63rd. They were on the gas. 2001, Paul Coffey officially retires from the NHL after 21 years and 4 Stanley Cups. Pharrell used to drive after him in the hills in Pittsburgh, all over the place with Paul Coffey. 2001, Barry Bonds walked for the 171st time to break Babe Ruth's record. 2004, final game in Montreal. They lost to the Mets 8-1, then they moved to D.C. 2007, Walt Jocketty resigns after 13 years as the GM of the Cardinals. 2008, O.J. again found guilty of charges of kidnapping and armed robbery on the same day. 2015, Max Scherzer throws his second no-hitter of the season when he threw one against the Mets. And in 2021, a year ago today, Brady beat Belichick as he returned to Foxborough with the Bucks, but they didn't cover. Patriots covered the number.
Juice had nothing to do with any of those robberies or murders.